Welcome to this weekend's Mentor Moment. Every single weekend, I bring you a brand new mentor. They're snippets of our most impactful and important episodes. Your mentor this weekend, David O'Mara. We talk about the long-term retail shifts post-pandemic and how the world's completely shifted to a brand new model. What is that model? Well, we're about to find out.
Talk to me then about retail, like what's happening in retail? Because like we've obviously had the COVID.
Yeah.
How has that impacted retail? Because there was a massive spike and then a drop off, then a spike and a drop off. So what's happening now?
Well, it's interesting. Let's say pre-COVID, the investor, you know, chats we were having, discussions, the big obsession was, well, what's the impact going to be of e-commerce and online shopping on your business? Because that was the really big talk back in 17, 18, 19. Obviously, large scale shopping centers, which we're not involved in, were struggling and kind of continue to struggle. They have a lot of that mid-range kind of fashion brand type stuff. We get about 70% of our rent from food retail. Interestingly, in Germany, they're very reluctant to get involved in, consumers are very reluctant to get on board with online shopping. And that kind of stayed the same really. In
online shopping across the board or just for food?
For food in particular, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Not to get too much into national stereotypes, but very cost conscious.
We don't have a big German listener. Yeah, we're okay. Yeah.
But it's a lot of stereotypes are true. Very cost conscious, but they didn't see the value in it. They're also very well stocked with supermarkets that are very close to the end consumer. So whether that's your mix of discounter and full assortment retailers, a lot of them tend to be on the same site. You don't see that iron so much, but the equivalent of your Dunn stores, or Etika or Reva will be right beside a discounter on the same site.
Okay.
So people go in, get their stuff and get out. And they might go to their frequency of shopping. They'll typically, on average, go 3-4 times a week.
Really?
We do more of it.
No big shop over there.
Less of a big shop, I would say, culture.
Why is that then, David? Is that like cultural? Is that just because they've better infrastructure? They're longer.
I think better infrastructure. They tend to be, they call it a polycentric population. There's lots of very big towns and cities in Germany. It's not a big drain towards Berlin or any big city. There's something like 80 cities and more than 100,000 people. So it's a very spread out population.
It's more balanced.
More balanced. And they're very well serviced with these well-located supermarkets that are right beside the end consumer. And it's that last kilometer of delivery is really expensive. So when COVID kicked off, we were like, okay, well, this will be interesting. This will be a stress test for what we've been saying. Because we felt that there was going to be slow evolution towards maybe more on e-commerce or online shopping. But this was a big stress test for the whole scenario. And obviously, e-commerce kind of kicked off a little bit, but it's rolled back quite a lot. And at the end of the day, if you do an online order, 90% of the time that's being fulfilled from your local supermarket. It's not some large warehouse in the middle of the country or in Ireland. It's not down in Athlone or Portlaoise or something. It's from your closest supermarket. So from our point of view, the good thing is that, well, we had clarity that it's this omni-channel approach to retail. It's not a revolution where your old way of shopping is gone.
It's an evolution, not an extinction for you.
Correct,
it's
yeah.
So just the
your local supermarket
again
is where people shop as they always have done, with the trolley and screaming kids and all that good stuff that comes with that. It's where people do their click and collect, which was the kind of new area that came during COVID.
Which makes sense. You can see how that makes sense.
Yeah. And these e-fulfillment. So from our point of view, it's just an opportunity. Well, perhaps we had to make changes to some of our properties to give more warehouse space, for example, as opposed to retail floor space, but adjustments. But we have a very large portfolio. None of them shut down or changed because of e-commerce. So that's what people expected to happen, but it didn't really happen. So I think for fresh food, fruit, vegetables, meat, that kind of stuff, people like to go touch it, smell it, feel it, and make their own judgment. That's not going to change. And even for the non-perishables, people can order them online, but still done from your local supermarket, which is a good thing. So I think to answer your question in a roundabout way, sustainability is the really big focus for these retailers. They've been focusing on that in their core business for a long, long while, and that stuff like, you know, animal welfare standards and that kind of stuff has been a big obsession for them for quite a while. But they're also really large occupiers of real estate. There are 34,000 supermarkets in Germany, for example, about 20,000 in France. That's a huge, huge footprint. And they're conscious now in their conversations with us as well, how can these buildings that we occupy continue to be, how can we continue to occupy this building in 10, 15, 20 years time without having to tear down and start again?
So, okay.
So that work we're doing on the energy side is really important, helping those buildings have less of an impact. We've started a pilot project now with a company called New Carbon based in Berlin for carbon capture. That's kind of attached to the outlets for the air conditioning units, and converting carbon that's emitted and converting it to kind of liquid form or gas form. So tenants, you're pushing on an open door with tenants when you're approaching them with these kind of pilot projects, which is pretty cool.
That's really interesting. What other trends are you seeing in property kind of broader? Like what's happening post-COVID? Because I know the city centres seem to be having a tough time. What are you seeing? Because you have a footprint all across Germany. Like what are you seeing in kind of, what's the future of cities, I guess, what I'm trying to ask you.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I guess we're quite special in some what we do, and we focus on that retail space. Office is the big question mark. Even just come along here today, yeah. You know, city centre. It's everyone wants the A grade, energy efficient offices with the you know parking spaces for their cargo bikes and all of that.
They want all the toys. Like if they're coming in, they want all the toys,
all the bells and whistles. So those properties are in demand. What I'm hearing in the market is that, you know, there's still a large stock in Dublin. That they're reluctant to carve up the floor space. They want the large companies to come and occupy those, but there's probably going to come a time where they're going to have to break those down a little bit and let kind of your SME sector maybe access a quarter of a floor or half a floor, but that I don't think that's happened yet. So that's the big question mark in relation to offices. But, you know, seeing different, if you look at traffic levels, I mean, it doesn't seem that things have calmed down a huge amount. So there is a bit of a push for people to come back to the office. So maybe that'll, personally, I think that might calm down over time and city centres will be more buoyant and offices will catch up again. But in Dublin, for example, I mean, there's that, you know, we're based kind of around the Mount Street area. There's huge amount of, you know, traditional office area that's not suitable for being offices and makes a lot of investment to get it up to scratch. So maybe that's, I'd like to see those converted back into, you know, apartment living, that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's possible, but that'd be a cool part of the city around that Baggy Street area.
If you enjoyed the chat with David, and I'm sure you did because it's an absolute cracker, go back and listen to the full thing. It's episode 372. I'll see you back here in a couple of days.